In the first reading today, we hear about this man who is found without fault, and we hear that he did not put his trust in money nor in treasures. Today we celebrate a saint who is a pretty extraordinary individual. He was part of an order that was actually founded to ransom slaves. In other words, the slaves that the Muslims had captured in various raids, these people, part of this religious order, would actually go and be the ransom. So in other words, he was the treasure. He was the money that was paid for a slave to be released so that he could go back to his family. And then for the rest of his life, then he would serve as a slave. Pretty astounding thing. But as astounding as that is, and as heroic as that is, think about that. The fact that somebody would first of all come up with the idea to start a religious order for that purpose, so all the monks and nuns who would go into that order, they know that the purpose of their life is to go and be a slave to a Muslim somewhere because they're going to ransom a Christian who had been taken. That's pretty amazing. But actually, this man is known for two other things that are pretty astounding. First of all, his name is, they call him Raymond Nonatus. Nonatus means no birth. He wasn't born. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it? His mother died while he was in the womb. And so they cut her belly open and pulled the baby out. Which at that time, they didn't have all the kinds of surgeries and such that we do now, so it was a pretty amazing thing. So that's how he got his name. Raymond Nobirth, which interestingly, because of that, he became one of the patron saints of mothers who are about to give birth. So, kind of a fascinating thing, we have a man who's the patron saint of moms who are about to give birth, but he and Saint Gerard both. And then, as he goes into this order to be able to be a ransom for a Christian slave, he didn't waste the opportunity. It wasn't just that he went to be a slave. He also went as a missionary. And he was so effective in converting the Muslims that they finally took a poker, stuck it in the fire, and burnt a hole in his upper lip and in his bottom lip and put a padlock on so that he couldn't talk because his preaching was converting so many people. And we have to think, how many of those monks or nuns that maybe were sold into slavery, or weren't sold into slavery, they became the ransom for a slave, how many of them may have wondered, for instance, if they had made a mistake as they're slaving away year after year in this way? Did they make a mistake? Did they really blow it? After all, at that point, unlike what a normal religious order would be like, they didn't have the support of the other monks and nuns around them. They were on their own. They were in a foreign land. They were working for somebody else. And you have to wonder in their humanness if they doubted, if they questioned. But here we have somebody who used it as an opportunity to evangelize, to be able to see that in the situation that I'm in, as horrible as it obviously would have been, he made something very good of it. And that becomes a great thing for every one of us to look at. In the situations of our own life, what do we do? Today, what we have are people who run away. I suppose that's always been the case, but more so these days. We have people who don't want to suffer at all, and we run away from every opportunity that we have to do so. If there's something that's an injustice, oh my goodness, you would think that the world has come to the end with all the complaining and all the filth that comes out of our mouths, to be able to express our displeasure with the injustice. Here we have somebody who offers himself as someone to ransom a slave. Talk about an injustice. And he turned it into something good. Can we do the same? Can we take the situations in our lives and make something good of them? That's what God is doing with them. He's using the situations of our lives in order to purify us, in order to strengthen us, in order to help us to grow in holiness. He doesn't waste any of these things, but oftentimes we do. And so can we see, or can we at least try to see as we're going through different things, that number one, somehow this is God's providence. This is God's will for me at this time. Normally, when you're dealing with God, he doesn't explain it to you, and he doesn't even allow you to understand at all why this is happening. He asks you to simply trust that he has your best interest in mind, and that somehow or another, in a way that you cannot understand, this is for your good. The fact that we can't understand is usually why we spew and spit and do all kinds of other stupid things rather than cooperate. But if we would trust God that he has only the best interest in mind for us, that'll make all the difference in the world, because all of a sudden we can see things in a different way. We can accept the situations because even though we don't understand them, we can see that somehow this is going to be for my good. We may not see it for a long time until we can look back at it from a distance and be able to recognize, look at the good that God brought out of this. Some of the things, of course, we also have to recognize we put our own selves into. We can't even sometimes say, well, obviously this is God working here. It's like, no, this is my own stupidity. I put myself into this situation, and I can't suggest that this is God doing it. But at the same time, God will still bring good out of it. God isn't going to waste anything. Even our stupidity, even our sins, God uses to help other people. Now, that doesn't mean he wants you to sin, obviously. But as long as you have, he will use that to help you to be able to counsel others, to help you to be able to keep people out of sin, to help them to get out of sin because you've had to do it yourself, whatever. He isn't going to waste it. So no matter what the situations are, whether they are self-inflicted or whether they are things that are happening to you, all things work together for good for those who believe, St. Paul said. All things, not most things, not a lot of things, all things work together for good. So when we look back, we can see that there's a whole, as they would say, tapestry that God is putting together. And as it's being put together, it doesn't look like the finished product at all. And sometimes you can't even tell what it is until enough of it is done that you can see what he's trying to do. Most of the time, at least if you're like me, it's about humility, because we don't have any. And so he's trying to work on humility over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe he's trying to work on your patience or your meekness or your charity or whatever. He's going to work on all these things, but a lot of it is just going to come down to the humility. And of course, when we are humiliated, when we are humbled, we don't like that at all, which is why we spew and spit and do all the other things that we do. because we're fighting it. If we would just even have a little bit of humility to accept it, just think, that would mean there are a whole lot fewer times that you're going to have to go through this, because we actually had the humility to cooperate with it in the first place. But because we don't, well, we're going to have to go through it over and over and over again until we at least get that little tiny bit of humility to be able to cooperate a little bit. So some things to think about, to pray about. When you see somebody like this who is so heroic that he would give himself over willfully in this matter, how about us in our day-to-day lives? Are we willing to give ourselves in this or that situation, which may cost us just a tiny little bit, whereas for him, it cost him his life. It was going to be his whole life. And in the situations in which we find ourselves, can we see the means of bringing about good? How can God use me in this situation to help others? So how is he helping me? What's he trying to do in my life? And can I work with him to be able to bring about good for others? All those things are what he's doing, if we will cooperate, if we will pray and be able to see what he's trying to do, rather than fight. Unfortunately, it's our natural human tendency to fight it. And so we struggle a lot with these things. That's why we have to pray for the grace to cooperate. And we have to be really patient, because these are things that take a long time for most of us to be able to grow. But God is infinitely patient. And he also has an infinite imagination, which means he has all kinds of ways to make us suffer or put us in situations that will help us to be able to grow. So just trust him no matter what happens. Be at peace, keep the focus on him, and know that whatever the circumstances, he's using this to bring about good for you and giving you the opportunity to do good for others.